Welcome back to the Happy Sad Person podcast. I'm Alessandra, your dutiful host, returning again for a second episode in a row after another kind of failed hiatus. Again, recording on a new camera with better visuals, but worse audio, because I think I'm the only fool on the planet who spent a long time looking at what camera to buy. And I bought a camera that doesn't have an external port to plug in a microphone. So I have all the audio equipment. I just can't plug it into my computer because I'm a fucking genius. What can I say? I'm thrilled with my choice. That's the story of my life, though. When I do make a choice, it's always the worst choice I could make because I mull on it forever and then make a choice in a hurry, and then it's the wrong one. But I digress. This week's episode is a little bit about something that kind of jogged my memory, my intrigue, with just things that were happening around me that I was like, I kind of want to talk about this. And it first came about when I found this quote, and I believe it's technically a poem by Young Pueblo, a Pinterest classic, if you will. And it goes a little like this. Love is much bigger than relationships. Love is the way you heal yourself, the kindness you give to others, the gentleness you give yourself in turbulent times, the space you hold for close friends, the intention with which you live in the present, and the energy that changes the world. Love is every moment that elevates the human experience and all the small things that make life shine. And a little cliched, but the underlying message of it, I think, really rings true when we see how we're behaving as individuals in relation to our greater community. And I think this is mostly an exclusive American problem, I would say, because it reminded me of, I wrote this little, like, I usually write blurbs when ideas cross my mind, and I wrote a little blurb about how when a lot of women have children, they often become sort of snakes encircling their eggs in the grass. And there's not this desire to connect. They see even almost other women as dangers, as everything outside of their four walls as a danger. And so even the other little snakes and hatchlings they view as bad, as the other. And I think we have such a narrow view of what love is, of what love means. It's solely familial love or partner love, and that's it. And I think we, A, miss out on so much because of that narrow perspective, and B, we hurt our community. We hurt having a communal experience, which as human beings we need. And I have notes again, so if you see me looking down, I guess if you're listening, it doesn't matter. But and then this idea really hit home when I found an article on The Atlantic about, I believe it's called Don't Tell America That the Babysitter's Dead. And it's kind of about how young teens, or mostly young teenage girls, there's not really, the culture of babysitting really doesn't quite exist as it used to. And while there are a lot of negatives with kind of treating young girls as like default future moms one day, I think it narrows the scope. That's another point to discuss, but it made me realize that, there really is a lack of communal growth when it comes to raising kids, when it comes to kids being exposed to different people, because, and like a comment in I found this on Instagram, on the post was saying, this is now a new generation of overparenting, of parents being with their kids 24/7. They're not exposed to different age ranges, to different ideas, different concepts. It's just them in their little square rooms. Often a lot of these kids are homeschooled now because our school systems are gutted. And it's just kids being exposed to what their parents allow them to be exposed to. And they're the iPad generation. So they're this very weird mixture of extremely mature in the material that they view because it's all on TikTok or Instagram, mixed with kids that are hyper immature because they have no responsibilities and can't do things like basic errands on their own because no around, you know, around every corner is like a pedophile or someone going to snatch your kids or someone that's going to teach your kids something different than you want them exposed to. It's this fear of the outside world. And there's real fears to have about the outside world, but for the most part, especially within your own community, people want people to succeed. They want the next generation to succeed. They want to impart wisdom on the next generation. And I think we've lost that. And so it was these kind of combinations that made me start thinking about this issue. And I think because we look at love as such a narrow concept of what we can love, we're really selling ourselves short of the full human experience. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I can be the biggest bitch on the planet sometimes, and I can have my moments, but I was talking to somebody about how, you know, I can be the most aloof, the most cold, you know, insert whatever negative adjective you want. And I'm open about that. I've a long way to go in my own enlightenment journey, if you will. But I was talking to somebody, this kind of layers the concept about books. And there was this book we were discussing called I think it's The Five People You Meet in Heaven or something of the like. And I was saying, I didn't like that book. I really didn't want to finish it because I don't like it. That book was too sad. And I really don't need a reminder of like how my actions impact other people. Basically because I have OCD and anxiety I'm highly sensitive. So I'm hyper aware of how my behavior impacts other people. And not saying I don't need a reminder every now and again, but I already feel that so intrinsically. I don't need that reminder. And when I was discussing this with someone, she had like a look on her face of surprise. And then I realized, oh, not everybody is like me. And not everyone has that sort of built-in thing of, oh, I know what it feels like to feel hurt or to not have compassion given to me, so I really want to be conscious of it and not have other people feel that way. And that's kind of like that magical superpower part of being mentally ill, that it's almost like you have to take these kind of good parts with the bad, with you know, having, you know, your different struggles that are kind of innate within you, within your makeup. And so I was like, huh, that is a small positive of me having, you know, these different issues. And I really do think we need to incentivize being kinder to others. And I don't think we have that built into our culture anymore. And I think it connects to the puritanical Protestant work ethic culture that America was founded on, and that's going to be tough to change. I also think we have this addiction to looking at everything through a scarcity lens rather than an abundance lens, that there's enough for everyone. There's enough to go around. And I think that will take time to change, and I worry that I might not see it in my own lifetime, but I do think it has to change for people to not feel so lonely, to not feel like there's nothing for them, to lack connection. And there's a lot of tangible things that do need to change. You know, we need to reintroduce third spaces into our communities where people of all socioeconomic classes can come together and share our stories and be kind of on equal footing. We need to build more walkable communities, maybe more public transit. At the bare minimum, at least have sidewalks built into every new development. That should be a bare minimum. And then this might be a more unpopular one, but not having cul-de-sacs, because cul-de-sacs only route traffic through one area and they stop walkable, functional ways to connect to other parts of the community. They're sort of an ineffective way to build neighborhoods and thus ineffective in building community, literally and figuratively. And then it's rebuilding sort of the social contract, like I talked about last week, within our community. Having a local hardware store, having a local place to buy clothing, be it secondhand or new, having a local grocer, having these very like common things in the past that we've eschewed for corporations and conglomerates and chain restaurants. And a chain has no fealty to its community, to the place where it resides. It has a responsibility to shareholders, to the CEO, to the board, but not the people in the area. And so I think we need to reintroduce the idea of, I guess, like old school, you know. I wrote this little blurb. We've removed community, buying from the local hardware store, the grocer. We need to reconnect to spit handshakes, promises, verbal contracts of having consequences with our tribe, with working as an organism amongst organisms. We need to be a part of something greater than us again and introducing community back into our lives. And I think I noticed this stuff more because I never really grew, I don't know, I never felt connected to this time. I never felt connected to growing up now. And so I'm always an observer, and I need to do better with feeling like I'm a part of this and trying to make this world make sense to me, because I don't like where we're headed, and I feel like it doesn't serve us. It doesn't make us better humans. And that's ultimately what we want in out of life. And I'm trying to create community on my own and be a part of my local community and be a part of my community as a human being on a greater scale. And it's tough, and I recognize that. But yeah, the idea of our narrow view of love, I think, really made me realize we have so much to do just simply in regard to human emotions and what we value and how little we value when it comes to what love is. So on that note, this is just a short little episode. Don't forget to leave this place better than you found it. Reach out to me on Instagram at the Happiest Sad Person Podcast. Yeah, and thanks for listening, you guys.